in our prayer with Gabe, he mentioned about the need for us to exemplify this new life, to walk in this newness of life. One of our memory verses talks about this newness of life and tells us when that begins. What passage did we learn? What book, chapter, and verse did we learn that talks about that and tells us when we begin that new life? Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Someone want to tell me what it says? Don't read it. Just tell me what it says. I'll start it off for you. We have been buried
in baptism
with Him. Well, we're making progress. Through baptism into death, in order that. That's an excellent verse, but it's not that one. Okay, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. That's one of the more difficult ones to memorize, but it's a good verse. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. And what's so helpful about it in your studying with folks is to show that the new life follows baptism. It does not precede it. Whereas in the world today, people are taught the new life begins when? Before baptism. At what point? When you believe. When you say the sinner's prayer, and Christ comes into your heart, now you begin that new life, and then later you can be baptized. But we see from Romans 6, 4, that's not the case. All right, now, in our study today, we're going to be talking about salvation by faith only. What is the phrase in that verse that indicates the baptism Paul is writing about is an act of faith? What words in that verse indicate that it's an act of faith? Sir? Well, justify is a good word, but it's not in that verse. I want to know words in that verse that indicate the baptism he's talking about is an act of faith in Jesus Christ. I guess it isn't then, right? It's just something we do because Church of Christ said to do it. Is that what it is?
Maybe because he's talking about resurrection, we're buried with Jesus in baptism.
Buried with Him, right? Would you do that if you didn't believe in Him? That's right. We have been buried with Him through baptism into death. In order that is what? Christ was raised. This is an act of faith. What's another word for act that we're studying about in our lesson?
Work.
This is a work, but it's a work of faith. So when you're studying with people, this is a key point. What kind of works is a particular scripture talking about? And so if you keep that in mind, you say, let's look together at Romans 6, 4. Is this a work that nullifies faith or depends on faith, grows out of faith? Okay? But I say, I don't believe anything man does has anything to do with salvation. Works nullify grace. Works have nothing to do with salvation. Where can you go to show that that cannot be true, that works sometimes definitely are involved in our salvation? Okay, James 2:24 is good. What does that say? Okay, seeing that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. There's a verse that we learn that says faith is a work. Where is that? John what?
John 6:28 and 29.
So, If you quote John 6:29, this is the work of God that you believe in Him whom He has sent. If you're talking to a denominational friend, what may they come back with about the work of God there as to what it means? We talked about this in class. Sir?
We will say this is the work that God does, not the man.
They're going to say this is the work God does. He takes the totally depraved sinner who's elected to eternal salvation, and God works in his heart to give him faith. Nothing man does. Now, Rocky said John 6, 28 and 29. What was their question in verse 28? What must we do to work the works of God? This is the work of God, that is, that you must do. So it's an answer to that question. Jesus didn't say there's nothing you can do. What must we do? Well, here's what you've got to do. So this is not talking about in this text what God does independent of man, but what man must do in order to find God's grace and favor. John 6:29, excellent passage to remember, but it's also good to remember its context because of what we just talked about. People say, I just believe faith only, faith only. We were talking about this at home just this morning, I believe it was, Coy and I. And actually, people, no one believes in faith only. Even those who claim that say you must do what? Repent. So that's not faith only, is it? Where is a passage, you got two choices on this one of the ones we learned, that talks about the necessity of repentance? Acts 3:19. Okay, now Elizabeth. Okay, repent and return, or repent, if you got the King James, be converted. Repent and return in order, what? That your sins may be wiped away. That seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So, you've got to repent and return in order for your sins to be wiped away. What's the other passage that says you've got to repent? We learn. Acts 2:38. So, Peter, just out of the blues, you started talking about repentance? That's right. They asked the question, what must we do? The we. Where are the we at on the road to salvation?
Believed what he said.
Sir?
They believed what he said.
They already believed what he was preaching about Jesus. Verse 36, he told them they had to know for certain that God had made him Lord in Christ. Verse 37, they were pricked in their hearts and said, what must we do? Or what shall we do? All right, so they were believers. And instead of Peter saying, just pray this prayer or you're okay now, he said, now you've got to repent and be baptized. Let me quote the verse. Tell me if I got it right. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. What's wrong with that? In the name of Jesus Christ. Why is that important?
Because it's a baptism that Jesus taught, connected to what he taught.
Okay, it's connected to Christ and who he is, and that he authorized. Baptism will not save you by itself. There's no power in the water, there's no power in the preacher, there's no power in the church. You can baptize a fellow till you drown him, it won't save him. It's only baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. In one of our lessons, we looked at a verse where people had been baptized, but not in the name of Jesus Christ. Where was that? Acts 19. And so Paul baptized them again. So baptism in the name of Jesus Christ requires the proper candidate, somebody who knows who Jesus is. So one of our early lessons talked about what you've got to believe about Jesus. Where would you go? Somebody said, well, what do I need to believe about Jesus? Where would you go to have a concise statement about what a person has to believe about Jesus in order to be saved? We studied this in our early lessons. Romans 10, 9, and 10 is not bad because it says what? Don't read it.
If you go past that, Jesus is Lord.
Ah, you're cheating. I saw you. You confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe what? Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So that's a good passage. There's another one that talks about the source of our faith and that what it tells us, what that source tells us we need to believe. Where is that? John 20, 30, and 31. That's right. And so these are written that you may believe what? That Jesus is the Christ, which means what? The anointed, the Messiah, the coming King. That's right. The fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. He is the Christ, the Son of God. And then he says what? That believing, you may have life in his name. So these are good passages to remember. As we study with people, it's not enough to get people to say, I'll be baptized. I believe. What do you believe? Is it scriptural to ask somebody, and they say, I believe I'm ready to be baptized, but what do you believe?
Yes.
Show me a verse.
Acts 8:36-37.
That's exactly what Philip did. And so here's some water. Can I be baptized? He said, if you believe, you may. What'd the man do? He confessed with his mouth the faith he had in his heart. That's what confession is. And that's what we studied. We studied confession. That's right. So as a baptizer, should someone ask you to baptize somebody, you need to know if they are a penitent, confessing believer in Jesus Christ. All right. And so confession with the mouth. We refer to Romans 10, 9, and 10. Is it just a statement of what you believe, or is there more involved? When you confess Jesus as Lord, what do you say?
You're His.
What does Lord mean?
Ruler,
master. It's a statement of commitment. That's what it is. If you ask the devil if Jesus is Lord, what would he say? Yes. But that's not that confession of Romans 10, 9, and 10. See? You can ask some Christian, you believe in Jesus? Yes, but that's about it. There's no commitment to serve him in their lives. And so this is a confession of commitment to serve Jesus Christ. All right, so these are important concepts if we want to be saved. Will the Church of Christ save you? No. Christ saves you. Why are you a member of the Church of Christ? What?
Because you're saved.
Because you're saved, and that's the church universal. Because you're saved, the Lord adds you to the church, doesn't he? Where's that at? Acts 2, verse 41 and 47. And why are you a member of this Church of Christ?
To stay saved.
To stay saved and help other people stay saved. That's why. To grow, to equip ourselves to better serve. That's right. But the salvation's in Jesus. Okay, so we're looking at our lesson today, salvation by faith only. For those of you that just joined us today, I'm sorry that we're in the middle of the lesson, but we have to move on down to where we had gotten to. We were talking about the misunderstanding of the term works. And so let's look at that in our study today. We had talked about in our last class the seeming contradiction in Romans 4 and in James 2. And so in Romans chapter 4, he said, verse 2, if Abraham was justified by works. In verse 4, he said, to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor or a matter of grace. And then in verse 5, to the one who does not work but believes. And it certainly sounds like Paul in Romans is saying, you are not justified by works. Do you agree with that? You don't?
Yes.
I do. I agree with him. You mean you don't agree with what he said? Don't be apologetic. Say, yes, I agree with what Paul wrote. What does James say, though?
God made it, mandated those works.
Okay, James, your memory verse says what?
See that man is justified by works.
Okay. See that man is justified by works. But Paul said no. We talked about that in our last class, didn't we? What's the problem?
Meaning of works.
Meaning of the word works. So here's our bus. Y'all wanted to hear about that bus this morning. Got more than one pastor on the bus. One's in Romans 4, the other's in James 2. Big problem in studying the Bible, and people are misled about it. So, let's look down here at our little chart that we have under number 4. You don't even have to turn to Romans 6, 4, do you? You know what that one says, right? Right? I see those eyes looking at me and say, don't call on me. Romans 6, 4, having been buried with him through baptism. So Romans 6, 4 discusses baptism. Now, your denominational friends are taught that baptism, if you teach it's essential to salvation, that you have nullified grace. How do they come to that conclusion?
Misinterpret words.
Okay, that's right. And what passage will they be pointed to by their preacher? There's two possible ones, one in Romans and one in Ephesians. Sir?
Ephesians 2, 8, 9
is one. That's a good one. You know that one by heart, right?
By grace
you're saved. Through faith, not of yourselves, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, so that's one. But there's one in Romans 4. Look, we just read it. Romans 4, he said Abraham wasn't justified by works, or he could boast. Could Abraham boast? No. And then he said in Romans 4, that to the one who does not work. And so here's Romans 6, 4, and here you're saying you've got to do something to be saved. Isn't that the definition of work, doing something? You know, if you got you're on a job, and you got a co-worker, but he doesn't do anything. What do you say? He doesn't do his what? Work. That's what work is, doing something. So, the person says, you know, I know Romans 6, 4 is there, but that can't have anything to do with being saved. Because then it nullifies grace, Romans 4. Now, we know two basic laws of Bible study. What are they? Context and harmony. So, first of all, in the context of Romans 6, 4, is this act an act that you say, I don't need Christ, or that you do need Christ? You do need Christ. Buried with him through baptism into death as Christ was raised. This is an act that is dependent on Christ and his death. Now, by the law of harmony, you take this letter Paul wrote. Would you not interpret everything in the letter in view of the writer's intent and purpose and qualifying statements? So here on your chart, we have Romans 1, 5 and Romans 16, 26. So in Romans 1, 5, hold your finger at both those passages, if you will. Romans 1, 5, we who through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith. To bring about what? the obedience of faith. Faith without works is a faith without obedience. He intended to make man be obedient to the faith that he preached. By the way, just an interesting thing to observe. The little phrase here in verse 5, to bring about. If you have the New American Standard Version, it's out in the margin, you'll have a L-I-T, which means what? Literally. What did it say literally he wrote? For obedience. Where is another passage where the word for becomes a hotly contested subject? Acts 2:38. This is the same word. That's just interesting. The phrase translated in the New American to bring about, or as your marginal note says, for, is the same word as Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Unto, in order to bring about something ahead of it, not behind it. See? Okay. Now, that's chapter 1:5. What is 16:26? Look at it. He said, the gospel has been manifested, and he said it's made known to all nations, leading to obedience of faith. The word to, say that little word again, same one. So here in the first chapter and the last chapter, he said, the gospel I preach, the gospel God made known, is a gospel that leads men to obedience out of faith. What is the theme verse of the book of Romans? What is it? 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. People know that one, but do they know 1:5 and 16:26? See? Dangerous. When we go to the Bible, I got something I want to prove, I'll go find a verse to support it. You can teach anything. It's better to go to the Bible and say, let me see what the writer's talking about. And if I'm going to interpret Romans 1:16 or Romans chapter 4, I need to interpret in the light of chapter 1:5 and chapter 16:26. But 6:4 tells you this is an act of faith. Look in Romans 3:27. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. Law is here put for the idea of a plan or a rule or a system. A rule of justification by works says you keep it perfectly. You do not need a suffering Messiah. A rule or a law or plan of justification by faith says you've got to trust in the suffering Messiah and do what is required in order to enter and maintain a relationship with Him. So here's two laws. It's not talking about a single commandment. Two plans, two rules, two ways, if you will, systems of justification. That's what Paul is contrasting. And so in 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, based on 1:5 and 16:26, what does he mean by faith? An obedient faith. That's what he meant. That's not Church of Christ interpretation. That's Paul's interpretation. It's an obedient faith. All right, so we ask the question, look on the chart, see, faith including obedience of faith. You can see that's what he's talking about when Paul used the word faith in the book of Romans, in these verses. But in Romans 9, he explains what he means by the word works. In Romans 9, 30 through 33, tell me how that verse defines what Paul means by works. What does he mean by works in that verse? We know it's something you do, but there's some more qualifications there. Look, he's got... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say they did it by works without faith in Jesus Christ.
That's it, exactly. He said, verse 30, what shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attain righteousness, even the righteousness which is, how? By faith. But Israel pursuing a law of righteousness did not arrive at that law. Is that what you're saying, Paul? Say, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why? Here's the answer. Because they, that is the Jews, did not pursue it by faith. Did the Jews not believe in God? Yes, they believed in God. What faith is he talking about? Verse 33 tells you. A suffering Messiah. They stumbled on the cornerstone. They couldn't even recognize it. Builders of the nation couldn't even recognize the cornerstone of the building. The idea of a suffering Messiah. That's the faith they did not depend on. And so they did not pursue it by faith, but, here's our not but, but as though it were by work. We are good enough. We are Jews. We have been circumcised. So God's going to accept us. That's why we don't have 10,000 people here today instead of the 100 that we have. That's one of the reasons. I'm good enough. I don't steal and rob. I hadn't killed anybody. I'm good enough. God's a loving God. I'm okay. That's what the Jews thought. No man is justified that way. We learned a verse early in our summer studies that told us why we need to be concerned about a plan of salvation. What is it? Romans what? 3:23. What does it say? All have sinned. So what? And fall short of the glory of God. What's the other option? Besides the glory of God. Eternal damnation. He talks about it in Romans 2. You can go read about it. So sin puts man in a state of condemnation, lack of justification. And so when he talks about works in Romans, he's talking about works that says, I don't need Jesus Christ, I don't need this gospel. But in James, when he talks about works, in James 2, he's talking about works that grow out of faith. Demonstrate your faith. That's what he's talking about. So the word works in Romans and the word works in James are different. The word faith, James talks about a faith without works, and it will not save you. So we need to be sure that we define words contextually. What does that writer mean? What does he mean in this book? It's very important. All right, and of course, because of that, there's a lot of confusion. It's very serious because men's souls are in jeopardy. So we ask the question, in this context, where does baptism fit? And it's obvious that baptism fits in the category of works that grow out of faith in Jesus Christ. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, I shouldn't ask you that. I would say, prove to me that baptism is something that grows out of faith in Jesus Christ. Where could you go? I just gave you the answer. Mark 16:15-16, what does it say? I know what it says. Go preach Church of Christ doctrine to all the world and baptize those folks. Going to all the world, that's it? Preaching what? The gospel. The gospel. Where are you going to find that, Mark? Not Mark in the audience. Mark that wrote that.
What he just wrote.
What he just wrote. Well, how did he begin his letter?
This is the
beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. 1:1. Now he had Jesus said, go preach this gospel. He who has done what? Has believed and has been baptized. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, Matthew's account, the people that were to be baptized were first to be what? Taught. Where's that verse?
28:19.
Matthew 28:19. Go make disciples or go teach all the nations. Verse 18. We didn't put it in our memory work. Do you know what verse 18 says? All authority is given unto me. That's right. Go make disciples. So, making disciples of the risen Lord and Master. Baptizing them. Who? Those who have faith in the risen Lord and Master. Tells you where baptism fits. Does not fit under the category of works without faith, but works that are done because you believe in Jesus. Okay. Number 6 on your lesson, if justified by faith only. Then who would be justified according to John 12:42-43? The rulers that believe but would not confess him. When Jesus sent the apostles out on their mission, or when he was talking to them about their mission, actually, it's not actually when he sent them out on the Great Commission, but when he talked to them about their mission in John 10, he warned them that they would face fierce opposition. But what did he say was absolutely essential if they hoped to complete their mission? Verse 32 and 33. Had to confess him before men. They said, people are going to want to deliver you up to death. It's going to divide families. People are going to hate you. Got to confess me. Why did the Pharisees in John 12 refuse to confess Jesus?
They were afraid of being put out of the synagogue.
That's right. They love the approval of men more than the approval of God. They're going to get kicked out of church. So they wouldn't confess him. And so, but did they believe? How do you know? The text said they believed. Now, you know what your denominational friends will say? They didn't have saving faith. I agree. Why? Well, it's missing. Obedience. It's an obedient faith that saves. All right, but it shows that faith only will not save you. So I don't really think they really believed. Well, did John miss it? Did the Holy Spirit miss it? He said they believed. Did they or didn't they? I think John knew more about it than somebody in the United States of America in 2015. What do you think? John said they believed. Of course, that presents a problem for those who believe in faith only. And, of course, Mark 8:34-38 talks not just about the apostles, but anybody who will not confess Jesus. And I'm going to include that on the revision of the lesson, Mark 8:34-38. According to James 2:19 and Mark 1:24, if salvation is by faith only, who's saved? Demons. The demons know who Jesus is. Will they confess it? Oh, yes. Are they committed to serve him? Oh, no. So here's an example of confession. It's not just, oh, yeah, I know who he is. I believe it. No, it's a commitment to serve him. The demons know exactly who Jesus is. They were scared to death of him. But if it's faith only, they have faith. You know what? They have more faith than a lot of so-called Christians. They were scared. They knew who he was. They knew about his power. There are Christians who say, I believe in Jesus. I really believe in Jesus. But their life indicates they don't believe in Jesus. They don't fear him when they're going to stand in judgment. They're not living the life that indicates they fear him. You know what? There are people who say, I believe in faith only. And there are people who live like they believe in faith only. You're going to comment, Rob?
Right.
Right.
You know, confessing right out exactly who they were.
That's right. Good point.
She sure didn't believe it had a saving faith.
Good point.
At least the demon didn't. I don't know what happened to the girl after that.
Yeah, we don't know about the girl, but you're right about those demons. Good. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in Satan? I see some heads nodding yes. Does everybody agree? Okay. Do you serve him? Nobody better shake their head yes. Here's faith without what? Obedience. Yes, you believe. See? There's a difference in believing and having a faith that is a committed faith, an obedient faith. Sure, you believe in Satan. And we ought to believe in Satan. So this simply illustrates that faith can be used in two ways. Point number 8, including works of obedience growing out of that faith and excluding acts of obedience. Turn to Hebrews 11. This is really not about how you're justified. It's about how you maintain in the face of difficulty and trial, how you persevere. But the kind of faith that will enable you to please God, verse 6, and persevere in the face of trial is discussed all through chapter 11. And so here we have verse 4, by faith Abel what? Offered. Is that a work? Yes. What kind of work? Faith, a work of faith. That's what made him offer. By faith, Abel offered. Verse 7, by faith, Noah prepared. That's a work of faith. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. What? Did what?
Obeyed?
How about that? That sounds like obedience of faith. Wonder where we heard that before. By faith, he obeyed. Paul said, that's what I preach. But Paul's the same one that said Abraham was not justified by works. Didn't he? Did he?
Yes.
Yes. And yet, the Hebrew writer said, by faith he obeyed. Paul said, that's what I'm preaching, obedience of faith. Romans 1, 5, 16, 26. All right. And then 11:17, by faith Abraham offered up. 11:20, by faith Isaac blessed. Okay. And 11:27, by faith he left Egypt. Moses left Egypt. And then 11:29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Suppose that had got to the Red Sea. Moses said, you know, God said he's going to deliver us. Oh, that is so good. But, you know, I'm not sure about that river. That big river there. I got my kids with me. I believe you, Moses. And they'd have just stayed there. What would have happened?
Egyptians
would have killed them. They'd have died. That faith didn't do them any good until they passed through the river. Obedient faith. Same thing with Noah. He said, I've never seen a flood, Lord, but I know you're a good God. But if he hadn't prepared the ark, he'd have died with everybody else. Put a phrase from the following scriptures that parallel by faith. Romans 16:16, what is it?
He who has believed.
You believe. Acts 2:38. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right. Acts 22:16, calling on his name. Is that something you say?
Show,
that's right. It's not something you say. You can say it, but it's not something you say. Calling on his name is an idiomatic way for calling on Jesus, depending upon him, asking for his blessings and his mercy and his grace. It's an act of faith. So, salvation by faith only simply doesn't meet the test of what the Bible teaches. The Lord willing, on Wednesday night, we'll talk about a very important area, one you will deal with if you're trying to talk to people about salvation. And that is, I just feel in my heart that I'm saved. Feelings is evidence of salvation. We'll talk about that, the Lord willing, in our class on Wednesday night. Thank you.